All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 15, the key to a debt-free America. You know, Proverbs 22, verse 7 tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender, or is a slave to the lender. Why is that? Well, because when you owe somebody money, all your labor, all your work, all your effort goes towards paying off that debt. And that's not too much fun. That's not freedom. You know, God's way is, or the Christian way, is that we owe no man nothing except love. So that we can be free, so that we can enjoy life. But that only happens if we live according to God's law. If we live according to the commandments that God is going to give us here in this chapter of Deuteronomy, as well as many others. But, you know, oftentimes we think we're free in America today, but our national debt is now over $16 trillion. What does that mean? Well, I don't really know how to describe what $16 trillion is. I just know it has a lot of zeros upon it. And that it's a lot of money. But this chapter, like I said, is going to tell us how we could be debt-free. If we followed certain principles, if we followed God's laws. And, you know, God's law is so liberating. It gives us freedom. A lot of people think, well, God's law is really strict and stringent, and if we live according to it, we don't have any freedom. But that's not true. For the only way to freedom is to live according to God's law. I've often quoted William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, when he said, "Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants." And that's so true. It's one principle that we should learn as Americans. Hey, let's do things according to God's way so we can be free, so that we don't just keep going down this endless spiral of spending money and digging ourselves deeper and deeper into debt. Because I'll tell you what, that debt is going to be, that debt payment is going to come up soon. And we're not going to be able to pay it. And that's going to make us slaves to a socialistic New World Order that our enemies are trying to build at this time. And what do we do as Christians? We're supposed to fight it. We're supposed to teach God's law. Are we going to stop it from happening? No, prophecy must come to pass. But we're still called to teach God's word, to teach his law, so that individuals can be blessed and give the warning to the nation. And who knows, sometimes there are revivals among nations. There has been in the past where the nation turns back to God and then goes under a period of grace for a certain amount of time. And that's what we want. We want to do what's right all the time. Sure, we look forward to the time that Christ returns. That's what we ultimately want to be. That's where we ultimately want to be, is in his kingdom. But until then, we're supposed to work hard and do our duty. Not just waiting for the end to happen like so many people do today, but doing God's work day in and day out. I wanted to mention before we open up in prayer is that for those of you who don't know, we started a new blog called The Daily Manna. And in that blog, we do verse-by-verse Bible studies actually every day, or Monday through Friday. So if you haven't heard about that and you haven't checked that out, I encourage you to check that out. There's a tab up on our website at christianovercomers.com, and you can click on that, and it'll tell you all about what that is. And on that blog, you can actually, it's more of an interactive blog. It's one that I hope will be, you know, not a passive blog, but an active blog of people discussing the scriptures that we cover each day. For example, we're in the book of Revelation right now. We just started that. And we cover about 3 verses a day in that, and we talk about it. We really dig into it. And people give their input on it. And I try to answer comments and questions on that as often as I can. And I think that's a great outlet for... We started it because of the general teaching of Christ is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Also because it's great to be able to fellowship with other people, to share that truth, to socialize with those of like minds. And the other thing too, before we begin, and so I don't forget to mention it, is that we also started a questions and answers blog as well for general questions that people may have. And I encourage you to check that out as well. And both of those things, you do need to be a registered member and logged in to participate. And again, you'll find the details on our webpage. But let us just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, well, I'll just say it again. It's the Daily Manna, and it can be found at our website. It's not a separate website. It can be found at ChristianOvercomers.com. And again, it's updated daily. Let us open prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in this 15th chapter of this great book of Deuteronomy. Help us to not only listen to it and learn it, but help us to apply it to our lives and to the world around us. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1, and it reads, "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release." What is this release? This release is the same as being like a Sabbath or a time of rest or a time of restitution. What he's saying is at the end of every 7 years, you're going to have this great period of rest or cessation of work. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that is. You know, there was the, in Leviticus chapter 25, there was the law that said that the farmers were to work the land for 6 years, and on the seventh year they would rest, and so forth. A lot of people know of or are familiar with the seventh day Sabbath, so to speak, that man is supposed to rest every seventh day, the fourth commandment. But they're unaware of the fact that there was actually a yearly Sabbath. And that came around every 7 years as well. God's calendar is built upon that number seven. And if you really want to understand biblical prophecy, it's important to understand these basics, for they are the foundation blocks for all the end times prophecies in the book of Daniel, as well as the book of Revelation. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, probably. But I'll just mention this, that we have an article, a blog written up on our website called the 490 times in, or the 77s in biblical prophecy, or also the 490 times. I can't remember the exact name of it, but you'll find, we go into the biblical, we talk about how the seventh year Sabbath is the building block to biblical prophecy, such as the 490 years in Daniel. The 490 times that Christ brought up when he mentioned that we should forgive our brother that many times. And that was in, I can't remember, I don't have it written down here. I believe that was, where was that? I think not Luke 6, Matthew 6 verse 12, no, that's not it either. If I remember it, I'll try to bring it up. But anyways, so this was the building block. God said every 7 years you're going to have this rest or cessation of work. From what? Well, he's going to explain. Verse 2, "And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release." What was this? Well, we wouldn't have debt in America today if we followed God's law, because every seventh year, the lenders were supposed to wipe that debt clean. It was supposed to be everybody's balance sheet went down to zero as far as debt is concerned. Now, the thing is you didn't have all these big banking institutions like we have today that control the people that we are actually servants to. No, we didn't have those, because the lenders were your brothers. were your family members, were your community. They were the ones that actually lended people money when they needed it. Not they didn't lend people money to go buy an Xbox or a big flat screen TV and all this stuff. No, this was for the basic necessities of life. And we'll talk about it here, but that was to be done. Every seventh year, hey, everybody was debt free. And in verse 3, of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine brother, thine hand shall release. You shall forgive him the debt if it's your brother, if it's a fellow Israelite, a fellow believer in Christ today. But, you know, of a foreigner or a non-believer, a heathen, a pagan or whatever, you could take, you didn't have to forgive that debt. That's interesting, isn't it? But I thought we're supposed to love everybody. Yes, we are. But God's people were to be a holy people, a people set aside to do God's work and to be a light and an example unto the world. We weren't supposed to be on an equal level playing field with the world. And God wanted to give his people that advantage. Why? Because if the people, if we didn't have the advantage, the enemies would have advantage over us, like they are doing to us today. Verse 4, save when there were, verse 4, save when there shall be no poor among you. Now, this translation is a little bit off here. If you have a companion Bible, I believe Dr. Bollinger has it corrected here. But he's saying, hey, if you did this, if you followed this seventh year of release, you wouldn't have any poor people among you. You wouldn't be oppressed. You guys would be free. You'd live in a free nation. Now remember, God just freed the people from Egypt. He was trying to give them their freedom, and he was trying to let them remain free by giving them these laws. He didn't deliver them out of Egypt to set them up into a nation so that they could be slaves again. No, but so that they could be free. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Notice, God says, hey, if you do things my way, I will bless you. You know, you didn't have to, if, you know, a lot of people could easily say, well, the lenders could say, well, I don't want to do that. I want my money. I want my payment. But that's greed. That's greed. God says, hey, if you're not greedy and you do things my way, I'm going to bless you anyways. I'm going to make up for that money that you maybe had to lend or whatever, or that debt you had to release. I'll make up for it. You know what? Everything that we have is God's property anyways. He only gives it to us, loans it to us, lets us manage it. Verse 5, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. If you carefully, now this carefully doesn't mean, hey, just gloss over this stuff in reading and not understand it. No, God says, hey, if you follow these things carefully, if you study them, if you think about them, break them down and follow them, then you will be blessed. Verse 6, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee. It's his promise. Hey, if we do things God's way, if we study his word and apply it to our lives, he will bless us. And thou shalt lend. Now check this out. This verse is so important for us here in America today. And it's the root cause of our financial troubles that we have to this day. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. And what is he saying there? Hey, you're not supposed to borrow money from other nations. You're not supposed to borrow money from China, the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned bank that scammed our whole nation out of all of our inheritance, our wealth. Japan, Brazil, Russia, Taiwan, and hosts of other countries. We're not supposed to borrow money from anybody. We're supposed to be the lender. Why does God want America to be the lender? Why does he want his people to be the lender? So that we can be over and above the other nations. And so that we could teach God's law to the world and be that example. But we can't be over and above other nations. We can't set the example if we go to work every day to pay off China or the Federal Reserve or some other country. We become their slaves. We become yoked to them. You look at out at America today and you see people going to work day in and day out. What are they going to work for? Not for themselves anymore. Because we violated this principle of God's law. Now, on an individual basis, this applies to us as well because we're not supposed to get into debt. We're not supposed to owe people money, especially debt on I should say mainly, you can owe somebody money as an individual if it's a family member, a friend, or whatever. But we're not supposed to have consumer debt that we pay interest on. Why? Because that puts the yokes of bondage upon us tighter and tighter. And God doesn't, when Christ came, he came to set us free. And he sets us free not only from our sins, but in our daily life if we follow his laws. For those of you listening right now that may have a lot of consumer debt or, you know, it's almost impossible for people not to have a mortgage these days. And, you know, I have a mortgage as well. And, hey, do I want one? Is it according to God's law? Well, not necessarily, but, hey, we're sort of living in Babylon at this time, and we have to do what we can to get by. But we're still prohibited from borrowing money on interest to get things like TVs and fancy clothes and new gadgets, things that we just want. That's not the Christian way of life because, again, that takes away our freedom. That puts us in bondage. And God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to be patient, to budget our money, to be responsible. And he wants us to build wealth so that we could lend to other people. We could lend to family members that may be down on their luck. So we could set that Christian example. And then they say, oh, that's a Christian there. He's not bogged down in debt, he or she. They're successful. They're responsible. They may not have millions of dollars, but they're comfortable. And that should be our goal. So if you're in debt today with consumer debt, nonsense debt, credit cards, I suggest doing everything you can to get out of debt so you can live as free as you can according to God's law. There's a great guy out there that many of you are familiar with. He's really famous. I don't know if you say he's famous, but he's well known among those who are trying to fix their financial lives. His name is Dave Ramsey. I think he's got a website, DaveRamsey.com. And he teaches general principles on how to get out of debt. And he's an honest Christian doing his calling. So I highly recommend him if you're somebody who's in, you know, large amounts of debt or even small amounts of debt so that you can come up with a plan to get out of it and to be free. To owe no man nothing but love. That should be our goal. That should be our goal. Verse 7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. You know, God says, hey, we're supposed to help out our poor brethren. We're not supposed to look down upon them or let them suffer. But you notice it didn't say the government was supposed to do this. No, the people. So that they could partake in that blessing of being able to help somebody. And this is one of the principles of one of the general characteristics of Christianity is that Christians are generous, they're caring. They help the poor, they help the needy. And they set the example by doing so of compassion and love. But again, this doesn't mean that we allow scam artists to take advantage of us. And that's probably the hardest line we draw. You know, a lot of us don't want to be stingy. We want to help somebody. But there's so many lazy con artists out there that, you know, we kind of always just kind of wondering, you know. But if you know somebody and it's somebody close to you, like a brother or something, and you know the way they live their life, and you know they're not just trying to con you and take advantage of you, then that's different. Verse 8, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need. Not over and above, not so he can get a flat screen TV, an Xbox, or go buy a bottle of booze. No, but so he can get by. So he has what he needs so that he can try to get up on his feet. In that which he wanteth. And now, you know, there are many cases where people fall down on their luck. Illnesses, deaths in the family, sickness, you know, if you're running a farm, if there was some kind of a drought or a sickness among your livestock or whatever. There are legitimate cases. And sometimes it's just, yeah, somebody's poor planning. And then, you know, maybe they get down and they get down in the gutter, and they're going to probably learn from that, hopefully. That's the kind of people God is saying that we're supposed to help. Verse 9, beware that thou be not a thought in thine wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. You don't give him any. You look and you say, hey, it's the sixth year right now. I know that year of release is coming up, the seventh year. I don't want to give him any money because he's not going to pay me back. He's just going to take it. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So in other words, God says that's an evil heart if somebody was to do that. And you'll find Luke chapter 6, I believe it is, there's an example where Christ said that we're supposed to lend to others and not expect anything in return in certain cases. And that's what he's talking about. And what do these things teach us? Yes, these are economic laws, but these also teach us principles. Principles of forgiveness, compassion, being willing not to hold grudges against people for things they have done. You can take these simple concepts here and expound upon them into the spiritual realm. Now, I didn't say that to make it sound confusing, but simply apply them on the spiritual level. As far as, debt in God's word means a lot of things. It simply means you owe somebody something. It could be sin against God. A debt could be sin against your neighbor, and so forth. And those things are to be forgiven, and Christ was the ultimate forgiver in that he forgave us all of our debt, all of our sin that we owed towards him. You know, I can't help but think of this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. There was the prayer that Christ told us was the model prayer. This is how we should pray, commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, we actually pray for this seventh year, in a sense. I guess ultimately to the Great Sabbath. The Great Sabbath being the seven times 7 years to the 49th year, which would be the year of Jubilee. And then I'm going to probably confuse some by saying this, but then 10 times that brings you to the super great Sabbath year, which would be the 490th year. And that was the great year of release, the great year of release from sin and from bondage. But when we pray that Lord's Prayer, we're asking God for this year of release. You know, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we know how to do his will on earth? Well, it's by following his laws. again, we wouldn't be in all this trouble we're in today, all this depression and sadness because of economic troubles, if we just listened to God. But no, we're too smart. We want to do things our own way, and we suffer because of it. Verse 10, and thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved. You're not supposed to, you know, be sad about it. You're not supposed to say, oh man, I had to give to him. You should be happy. I was able to help somebody. When thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. Again, God's going to make up for it anyways. That's just a principle of Christianity. If you're generous and you're giving and you're loving and you're compassionate, well, it comes back to you. It truly does. Because there may be a time that you need help. There may be a time that you're down on your luck. Some tragedy happened and you lost everything. Would you want somebody denying you help? I don't think we would. I don't think we would. That would be, well, anyways, he says, let me just state that there. God says, I'll bless you in your works and all that thou puttest thine hand unto. What's the requirement? Work. You cannot have rest. You cannot have Sabbath without working first. That's how it is. Verse 11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. I remember Christ saying the same thing. They're just going to be there. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in thy land. Again, what does this tell us? This tells us that all of God's law is based off of love. That's what it is. I guess I could quote Christ where he said, somebody asked him, which one is the greatest commandment, Lord? And he said, there are two of them. Two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and all of your soul. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's how you could sum up the entire law by those two great commandments. Now, some people make the mistake and they think, well, all I got to do is know those two great commandments. And I'm good to go. Forget all the book of Deuteronomy. Forget Leviticus. Forget Exodus. You can't do that. It's the other way around. By learning God's law, you learn how to follow the two great commandments rather than the reverse. Because you don't know how to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't know God's law. You don't know how to love God with all of your heart and all your soul if you don't know his word and what he requires of you. We'll go to verse 12 here. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man, one of your own, or an Hebrew woman be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And this would happen where somebody, if they were down on their luck and they were desperate, they could go and be a hired servant. It was called a slave back here, but today it was similar to having a job. But they got to live with slave master, so to speak, if that's what you want to call him, the boss. And he provided them their food, their comforts of life, as long as they worked for him. So slavery in God's word is not all that bad. I should say it this way, besides forced slavery. And that's another topic for another time, but slavery is so misunderstood among so many people today that any thought, they mock God's word because they say, oh, God's word permits slavery. Not the kind of slavery that you're thinking of. It's a different kind and has different rules and regulations for it. Verse 13, and when thou sendeth him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Say, you know, he worked for you. He worked hard. So don't let him go away empty after this year is done. Be generous. Help him get a head start when he goes off on his own. And this could be a principle that many businesses could take into account today. Treat your employees well. Pay them well. Obviously they require you, you should require your employees, every business should require their employees to work hard. But treat them well. Be generous. Pay them a good wage. Verse 15, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. In other words, what God's saying here, hey, remember, you guys were all slaves. And if you're a slave master, or you own slaves, hey, you better remember that, hey, your ancestors, your whole nation used to be slaves, and I, God speaking, was the one that redeemed you. I purchased you. I freed you. I secured your freedom. So just remember that. This should be something that, you know, somebody who has employees. Remember that God has given us our freedom. And if you remember that, then you don't, you know, necessarily put yourself up on a high pedestal. And treat employees cruelly as though they're less of a person. And it shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. Hey, there are cases here where God is saying, if there's a case where somebody worked for you for 6 years as your paid servant. And he says, hey, I like it there so much, I don't want to leave. Then that could be permitted. Verse 17, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Now this is what happened. And hey, they wouldn't stay there if they didn't want to be there. So, you know, some people would rather work for somebody else their entire life. A lot of people do. They're called employees of businesses today. We don't have to work for them our entire life like this was back here. But, there is an interesting thing here. If we take this, a lot of these laws kind of foreshadow Christ in a certain way. And if you ever look in the book of Revelation, it'll say that this is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ given to his servants. Yes, servants. Slaves, if you would. But slaves because we want to be slaves. We want to be servants. We want to serve God. Because we want to remain in his kingdom. We like it here. It's comfortable in his kingdom, so to speak. So you can see that within this, that once we become that, we are God's property forever. But the thing is he is a generous master. He will never turn on his servants. And what a thing that is. Verse 18, it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendeth him away free from thee. Hey, but if he wants to go away from you, don't try to prohibit him. For he hath been worth a doubled hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. Hey, don't worry about it. Let him go. I'll give you more blessings is what God is saying here. Again, the overall theme is be forgiving, be generous, and God will bless you. That comes down to that. Why does he say he's worth a double hired servant to thee? Because he served the full 6 years. The other servants, somebody could have came in and served for a year or 2 years just prior to that year of release. And then they were released, from their bondage there. Verse 19, all the firstling males. Now we're moving on to a little bit of a different topic for a few verses here. And it reads, verse 19, and the firstling, all the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock, thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy household. What he's talking about here is during the feast days, those three major feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Israelites were to come there with their first fruits. And they belonged to God. That's what God required. Again, why would God require that? Because he's going to bless you much, much more. And while there are many other reasons for that, reasons that we're not going to have time to get into today, but we'll go to verse 21. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. This is what they couldn't do. They couldn't take an animal that had a half a leg or was sick or had some other kind of imperfection and say, here you go, God, this is my first fruit, this is my best. Here, you can have it. That's not the way it works. And this even falls to the command of loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul. Because if you were to give him your very best of your love, of your time, of your efforts, then you're not giving him the first fruits. And you're not really a Christian then, because Christians are Christ's men or Christ's women who have dedicated their lives to the service of the King, and we're supposed to give him our very best. This can be applied in many different ways. Many different ways. Ultimately coming down to your love. And how do you love? Well, by service. By supporting ministries that teach God's word. And so forth. Verse 22. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. In other words, if you could not sacrifice a certain animal and it had blemish, you were to eat it within thy gates and not as a sacrifice to the Lord at the place that he chose, which would be ultimately be the temple in Jerusalem. You couldn't, you'd eat that stuff back at home because that wasn't your best. It didn't belong to God. You keep it for yourselves there, just like you would any wild game such as hunting deer and so forth. The unclean and the clean person, there were various reasons why somebody was pronounced ceremonially unclean. And that could be they just gave birth to a child and many other reasons. Touching a dead body or a dead corpse of some sort. but anyways, he says, verse 23, only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof, thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. Why did he say that? You shall not drink the blood, because this is what the heathen did to these sacrifices. And I believe we went into this more in depth a few chapters ago, so we're not going to go into that. But the other thing too is if the diseases and things like that are carried in the blood of the animal. And if you drink it, you could get very sick and ill. And God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to live a good life. And he wants us to be able to serve him day in and day out without having all kinds of other problems. As much as we can help it anyways. But hey, I hope you enjoyed that chapter. The next chapter we talk about the Passover. And we're going to get into that there. The feast, learn about the Feast of Passover. But again, I'll just sum up this chapter in just one sentence. Well, besides being debt-free, God says, hey, we're not supposed to borrow any money because that puts us in bondage. That makes us slaves. But the other principles we're supposed to learn is that, well, to say it this way, as Christians, we're supposed to live debt-free. We're supposed to be generous. We're supposed to be generous to others and show compassion, and God will bless us for it. Well, that's it. We'll close it up here, but like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you digest it, see that you consume it on a daily basis so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to christianovercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.